job. A church was being built in Everett. Herman got a job. And lo and behold, he was putting up joists side by side with the minister of the church. And what do you think the minister started talking about? And Herman got saved and lived to prove that he was really a Christian before the Lord took him home. A godly mother speaks loudly to her children. How can you live to please him? You can live in the workplace as an example of Christ. You need not be highly articulate. You should not be abrasive. You can live so that your language speaks clearly that you are in Christ. Is your language clean? Are your ethics clean? Perhaps I'm speaking to businessmen this afternoon. Are your business ethics clean? Is your word your bond? Are you honest in all respects? Are you upright so that you are well pleasing to your Lord? You see, he doesn't ask us to turn the world upside down. It's too bad we don't. But he doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to be consistent in our life, to walk steadfastly before him. He looks for the steadfast, faithful, committed life. Brethren and sisters, when you go home from this camp, you will be alone once again in your environment, or more or less alone. You will perhaps be back in a small fellowship again where you're not surrounded by many other Christians and you have very little support. You may go back to work where there's all kinds of cussing and swearing and dirty stories and all the rest of it. And in that environment, you have the challenge and the responsibility to be well-pleasing to Christ. I worked for some years before we started our own business in a little industry. It was a dental manufacturing company, and I was in charge of product development. And there was a lady, considerably older than myself, who was the controller. She held the purse strings. And I had to go to her for the budget for my department, and she was a toughie, chain smoking, fast talking, and when we would be in the lunchroom sometimes having our lunch, various people there, she would loudly declare for my benefit that only cowards pray. If you're a coward and you can't get through life yourself, you pray. And it's people that can't make it on their own that give thanks for their food. So on. There wasn't a person in that business that I felt was farther from the Lord than Helen was. One day she came to my office, knocked on the door and said, "Can I come in and talk to you?" I said, "Sure," and there was a sit-down chair by my desk. She sat down and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Put it to me straight. Am I a lost soul?" The next day, I had the joy of pointing that lady to Christ. You know what had happened? She was opening the company mail, something she kind of liked to do. And she told me afterwards, she says, "I know the envelope I opened was from Pennsylvania. I wish I kept it, but there was a gospel paper in it." And she said, "I did something that I don't know why I did it," but she said, "my purse was down under the desk," and she said, "I took the pamphlet out and I looked at it and I slipped it in my purse." I wouldn't have done that once in 100 years. And then she said, "I took my purse home that night and I put it on the nightstand." She said, "Normally I put my purse away in the closet." She said, "I left it on the nightstand." Put into bed that night. She thought, "I want to read something for a minute. Oh, there's that pamphlet and here's my purse." And she pulled it out and she read it. All the work of the Spirit of God. And at the end of the pamphlet, there were 10 questions that were asked, and the writer said, if you can't answer all 10 of these questions in the affirmative, you're a lost sinner on the way to hell. And she says, I read the questions, and there was only one or two of them I could answer in the affirmative. And then she said, I thought to myself, I know who to go to. There's that young whippersnapper at work that claims to be a Christian. She came to me and asked me, am I a lost soul? She was, but she wasn't lost much longer. Now, how was she reached? She was reached by somebody who put a tract in an envelope, and by somebody else who was known in his workplace as a Christian who knew the way to heaven. My friend, you can live a simple, godly life that doesn't turn the world upside down, but is consistent with Christ. That's what he calls you to do. Now, there's an aspect of the Christian life, an interlude, shall we call it, that I hope not to experience myself. And that is to be unclothed for a time. We are body, soul, and spirit. It will be eternally unnatural for us for any part of our being to be separate from another. But if the Lord doesn't come, some of us will pass away, and some of us have passed away. And for a time, the spirit is then unclothed. The body is laid to rest. The spirit, the soul, is with the Lord, longing for the moment when we will be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, when the Lord spoke to the disciples in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He was speaking to the disciples in their entirety, not just to their soul, not just to their spirit, but to them in the body as well. His great desire is to have us with him for all eternity. And that reality lies ahead. It is going to be that way. When we lay to rest the body of a believer, we have no control physically over what becomes of those remains. More than that, the one who is laid aside is no longer there. His soul and spirit is with the Lord. But the body will be raised. Those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And our bodies, glorified, made like unto his glorious body, aside from the wounds of Calvary. By the way, did you know? I hope you do. I don't know why I'm attracting flies, but anyway. That the Lord does not have scars from Calvary. He has open wounds. His wounds will never heal. Revelation 5, we see him in the midst of the throne, a lamb standing as if freshly slain. How shall I then know thee amidst those hosts above? What tokens true will show me the object of my love? Thy wounds, Lord Jesus. Those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that freed us from sin and death and hell. If you cut yourself, it is the blood of your body that heals the wound. His blood was poured out upon the altar for us. His body is bloodless now. He is in heaven now in a body of flesh and bone. He is the firstborn from the dead in the bodily sense. As he is, so shall we be for all eternity.
And thank God we have the absolute assurance that if he comes this afternoon and there's a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, we will bodily rise to meet him in the air. But if physical death claims us before he comes, body and soul are separated for a time. Earnestly, the soul earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven, and that will be accomplished when he comes. For the bodies of those believers who have gone on before will rise when he comes to take us home. And then comes the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the fourth and final phase I want to bring to your attention. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, child of God, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be judged for your sin. Your sin is gone. You will not be judged as a sinner. God no longer sees you as a sinner. What is the judgment then going to be? The judgment is going to be relevant to your service. How you spent your time since you got saved. Every hour of every day since you and I got saved is a period that we shall give account for. Now, you should not be lethargic in your Christian life. You should not be a drone. You are not, in the Christian sense, to be a couch potato. How much of your time, your talent, your heart belongs to Christ? There's the issue. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or bad. If you go back to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, you learn that all the fruits of our life is put to the fire by God. And you can visualize, you know, I visualize a huge stack of stuff after 55 years in Christ. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And the fire applied to the whole mass. And when the smoke clears, just a little bit of preciousness left. And that's what was done for him. And that's what we'll be rewarded for. I began to preach the gospel. I had my first series of gospel meetings when I was 15 years old. I was preaching with an older brother, my cousin. He was 16, and the two of us had a series of gospel meetings together, fully supported by the local assembly. We had brethren in those days that got us young guys going. I wish we had elders today that got the young guys going. Build a fire under them, fellas. Get them out there preaching the Word of God. Spreading the gospel, that's how you learn what's in the book. And that's how you learn how to impart Christ. Could you tell? If somebody took you aside in the camp this afternoon and said, please tell me how to get saved, could you tell them? I was lying in bed one night and the phone rang and a young brother in our assembly was on the other end of the phone. He said, Brother Doug. I said, yeah. He says, I'm down in Denny's or somewhere, and he said, one of the local restaurants, and he said, I've got a friend with me, he wants to get saved. Please come and tell him how to get saved. I said, don't. That's fine. I'd love to come, but can't you tell him? Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. At this first gospel series, when I was a youngster, 15, and my old mother, she wasn't so old then, she's in heaven now, she used to say to me, "Son, why are you doing it? Is it to be seen of the Christians, or are you preaching the Word of God out of love to Christ? Motive is the whole thing." And my friend, that's what counts in your life. What's your motive? Do you want to please Christ? Or maybe you think to yourself, I'm a pretty little girl, I need a husband first. Well, that's not bad. Most of us perfect ones are married, but if you need a husband, the Lord can give you one. You guys, you need a wife, the Lord can give you one. A little girl was born about 300 miles from where I was born, just a couple of years after I was born. And she grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in a Christian home, and we hardly knew each other until we were in our high teens, and then he brought us together. You know what? She was perfectly suited for me. And she has been my helpmate and my companion and my greatest human delight for all these years. The Lord provided what I needed. He can do it for you. Parents, are you worried for your children? You think God has changed? No, He hasn't. He can take care of your children in this horrible world. He can preserve your kids. He can save your children. He can lead them through this dark world if you trust Him. The whole purpose of life is that we might honor and please Him, so that when we come to the judgment seat of Christ and we give account of the things done in the body, we may hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Notice that word, faithful. For He wants us to go on for Him year after year until He takes us home. Four phases of the Christian life: the reality of birth, the reality and the privilege of being well-pleasing unto Him, the interlude for many, as we shall wait for the time when body and soul are reunited, and ultimately, when we stand alone as individuals before our blessed Lord at the judgment seat and we give account. And only the things that are done for Christ will gain a reward. May God help us to live for Him in this present age. Let us pray. Our Father, in the precious name of Thy beloved Son, we bow this afternoon in Thy holy presence. We thank Thee for saving us out of this world. Yet, Lord, we're still in it. We're still here. We still struggle. We still have our trials. We still have our temptations. Oh, God, we commend to Thee the life of every Christian that is in this room. We pray that by the Spirit of God, Thou wilt help them to live for Thee and to live before Thee, seeking to be well-pleasing unto Thyself. That if that coming day so many might hear from the lips of the Master, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, may this be our desire, we pray Thee, to serve Thee well until we're taken home. Now we commit ourselves to Thee, camp to Thee for this afternoon and the evening. Pray that our fellowship together might be delightful. We may encourage one another in the Lord, we pray, in His precious name. Amen. Brother Scott, anything?